For years and years and years, the dog has been man's best friend, but now chickens are edging their way into that spot because chickens are pretty awesome.
So awesome, in fact, that they have their own Chicken of the Month Club, and let's see if dogs can do that. This is where you can give 2 chickens to a family in need by only giving $28 a month.
If somebody were to give me 2 chickens and go, here you go, here are 2 chickens, do something with them, I would have no idea. I would probably name them. I would dress them up in sweaters.
None of that.
Yeah, but none of that does any good, but... In developing countries, people know what to do with chickens. Chickens provide a ton of eggs, which can provide income for a family that is struggling to break the cycle of poverty. They also provide nutrition for families. Don't tell the chickens that part. But they also can sell the chicks in the marketplace. It's a great source of income. We all talk about side hustles. This is a way you can invest in a family to help them break the cycle of poverty for just $28 a month.
And it's by giving a chicken. So text the word chicken to 91979. That's chicken to 91979.
And all of this is made possible through our friends at Food for the Hungry. They do so much great work for the underserved and underprivileged, and you can be a part of that today. We'd love to have you get involved. Again, text chicken to 91979. Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast, the stuff we did not get to during the course of the show today. And I got a couple things in my craw. And so,
my craw.
You ever heard that thing? I got a thing stuck in my craw.
I think I have, but it sounds something like a boomer would say.
Yeah, well, it just means I got some things that are bothering me. I need to address, need to get out of my system here. Good news here.
So it's Thursday.
Yeah. In true rock and roll fashion, Coachella, the music festival, may be leading a new trend of companies and festivals that are just kind of done with COVID. They announced that they are dropping all COVID-19 restrictions ahead of this year's festival. They haven't done Coachella since 2019, and so people are just dying to get their rave on, apparently. And so it's a music festival in California, by the way, which is one of the most restrictive COVID states in the old union here. And they said that they are going to not go down this road with COVID precautions insulate them, kind of like when you sign a waiver at a place, you know you're going to, like you go jet skiing, you sign a waiver because you know you're going to get hurt maybe, you know. And but they're just trying to show like they're taking precautions. Mm-hmm. They have a note on their website that says, warning, COVID-19 is extremely contagious and can lead to severe illness or death. That's the extent of which they're going to protect anyone against COVID this time, which is so great.
All right. So it's kind of in your own hands.
Should have been from the beginning, honestly.
I know
people will disagree with that. But.
Maybe not like 2020 version of Coachella, I guess, when COVID was kind of weird. But last year, you probably could have.
Yeah. I mean, so this year they've got, Billie Eilish. The artist formerly known as Kanye West, Harry Styles. Yeah, he's going by Ye. Here's the thing, man. Like, I think people are hitting their own window of tolerance with this. Mm-hmm. You know, like companies are like, well, how long do you expect us to overcompensate for this stuff? How long do you expect us to actually abide by these rules when you change them all the time, and when you've lost our trust because you say follow the science, but you change the science, or you look at the governor of California who is restricting all of his people, but then is out at an event where there's no masks, you know?
Or you tune into the Super Bowl and everyone there is not wearing a mask. So it's like, well, why should I?
Yeah, in LA, you know? And so that's the thing, man. Like, they lost people's trust. And so there's a point at which people go, I've had enough. I'm just done. I'm at that point. Like, I'm just done, you know? What's really interesting about this, though, is you see people start to civil disobedience and civilly just go, look, and the thing is, it's like, I don't have to have a fist fight with you. I'm not doing this, you know. Now, where it gets a little dicey is private companies still have the right to determine how you come into their business and things like that. And so I do respect that. I respect private industry. You know, I don't like government intrusion, but if a private company says, well, we're going to do this, we want everyone in our place to be masked. Well, I go, okay, if that's your rule, I don't have to go to your place. So you're either going to succeed by people who love this, or you're going to fail by people who don't. And so that's on you at that point, you know? And so I'll go somewhere else that lines up with my beliefs, you know? And so that's one interesting part of this. But what's really interesting, if you look at pandemics like the Spanish flu, they had none of our modern science, none of our medicines, none of our advancements and our vaccines and all of this stuff. It ran its course. Now, there was a lot of death, obviously. We've had a lot of death through this. But it ran its course in 2 years. Where are we at right now?
2 years.
2 years. Exactly. Wow. So, like, things are cyclical. Things are historical. And so we're running through what we've already been through. And other countries have experienced this exact same thing with different types of viral outbreaks and pandemics and things like that. And they seem to have, like, a two-year window or life cycle that it takes you to get it through your country. And I know there are people like that would be like, wait a minute, this is science heresy, and we need to put you on the same list as Joe Rogan for giving out misinformation, you know. But it's like, no, there's still a freedom of speech in our country, and I love that about our country. You can have an opinion, and it's okay. You know, you can have a contrary opinion to your government, and that's a good thing. That's a healthy thing, because debate will then lead to usually a better outcome. It's like why you take at work and you're going to have a new product, you're going to design something or create something, and you have the people that are like, I'm all for it, we're going this way. And then you have the other people that go, wait a minute, have we thought of this, this, and this? Or there's a problem with this. And so then you get back together, you retool it, and then you come out with something that in the long run is better. Discourse, when done properly, leads to better results. And we haven't done our discourse very well on this issue because we have become very divided where it didn't have to be that way. But I'll be the first to tell you, the government set people up against each other. This administration designed it so there was a definite break and there was a definite obvious difference in people, and they fostered that gap, you know, for an administration that's like, oh, we want to be, inclusive and love everybody. They did not handle themselves in that way when it came to COVID, you know, and stuff. And so that's part of the problems that we are walking through still. So that was interesting. Okay, this one is really kind of funny and really bizarre. And I'm not attempting to step on any Catholics' toes.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Okay, so I am not a Catholic. I have nothing against Catholics whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Like, I know some people don't see Catholics as Christians. They see them as a different thing. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily fall into that thing. I think they have different tenets that they believe that aren't necessarily in my wheelhouse, but not a big deal. I think we're going to see Catholics and Protestants in heaven together, okay? So that said, this was just really crazy. There was, in Arizona, there was a priest who they're saying now, he performed baptisms for 16 years, and now the Catholic Church are saying that his baptisms are invalid.
What? Why?
Because of an error in what he said while he was baptizing people.
Oh, no.
I know, right? Like, this is where it gets crazy to me, okay? So see if I'm the only one here. His error, he said, we baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What he should have said, according to the Catholic Church, is, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
He said, you are baptized?
He said, we baptize you. And so that was the problem. That one word, that one pronoun was the problem. And it's causing this weird ripple effect that, again, it's not in my world, so I don't understand it. Where people are like, wait, my baptism's no good. I was confirmed, and now it doesn't matter. It's not real because he said we and not I. And to me, I go, what in the what? No, baptism, and again, this is where it's probably different inside of Catholicism. Inside of our part of Christianity, baptism, unless you're a Church of Christ, baptism is, boy, I'm just going to make everyone mad today. save your emails because this is me not caring. But like baptism is a symbol. It's an outward symbol. It's a profession of your faith. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. It's like telling the world, I am a believer in Christ and I'm going to dedicate my life to him and I'm going to live my life. That's it. There's no magic words with it. There's no magic anything to it. But apparently Catholicism, they're saying that because he was saying I, they put a lot of emphasis on the power of the priest, where we don't. Like, right. we go straight to Jesus, and then Catholics go to the priest who goes to Jesus. So right. what they're saying is, by him saying we, it's supposed to be I, which is Jesus working through him to baptize you. And so that's where the difference comes in.
So if you believe that, if you've been raised on those sure. Catholic beliefs, and then that is said, I could see where that would be troubling for people who believe.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I wouldn't think twice about it. I would just be like, yeah, it's a symbol, you know. Mm-hmm. And but Church of Christ, when I first got to WayFM a bunch of years ago, I got in a lot of trouble with the Church of Christ here. We have a Church of Christ on every corner. I think our boss, his dad grew up was a Church of Christ preacher and stuff. My daughter went to a Church of Christ school. But they have different views when it comes to baptism. And so I had said, man, I'm so happy my 8-year-old got baptized. It's great. And we're talking about dunking and versus sprinkling. And I was like, you know what? It's just a symbol. It's not a big deal. Either way, don't care. That's the symbol of it, you know, and it's her commitment. And Church of Christ people went nuts because they believe you must be baptized in order to be saved. So if you go through their branch of Christianity and you're not baptized, then you can't be saved on the real conservative part of Church of Christ.
I would like to hear what their thoughts are on the man that was
thief on the cross.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because, I mean, God said, today you'll enter with me in heaven.
Right.
But he wasn't baptized.
I argued that point with somebody one time, mm-hmm. and they said, well, this new rule became after that. And I'm like, wait, what? You know, so, mm-hmm. yeah. So again, if you are Church of Christ and that is how you believe, good on you. Go nuts. Have fun. I don't begrudge you at all, because the thing about it is, we argue so many times about, in essence, the non-salvation issues. Now, I know they're making this a salvation issue, but we argue so many times about the other things. If you believe you've got to be baptized to be saved, you're still trying to be saved. You're still working towards Jesus, and that's great. Okay, I don't mm-hmm. care, mm-hmm. you know? But you've got to give me that same space when I go, hey, in my world, I'm still seeking Jesus just as much as you are, but in my world, it's a symbol of my profession of faith, and I believe that God accepts me and redeems me the second I, you know, ask.
Yeah, and I think when we get, I hate that we have so many different branches of the, right. of the church, mm-hmm. because that's really when it comes down to religion instead of relationship.
Right.
And I think, to me, it just seems like Jesus wouldn't want each of us saying, well, you're not saved because you didn't go all the way down into the water and
right.
all this. Like, I just don't see God being that way.
Because he knows our heart. He knows if yeah. you mean what you say. I mean, you could get baptized and not mean it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's been time, there on it, full disclosure in my life, so no one thinks that I think I know everything about faith or religion. There have been times in my life where when we were taking communion, like, I didn't take it. And it wasn't because I'm not a believer, it's because I wasn't in the right place with God. Mm-hmm. And I felt it would be extremely disrespectful to just go through the motion of taking mm-hmm. communion when I knew I was not in communion with him, mm-hmm. you know? And so, and that's how seriously I take it, you mm-hmm. know? And that your heart is what matters. Your words and your actions, your outward actions don't matter, because they can be a lie, you mm-hmm. know? God is the only one that truly knows what's going on deep inside. And so when we try to argue all the things that we think about people, we don't know, mm-hmm. you know? And so I like, let everybody have their little space there and let God figure all that nonsense
yeah,
out.
Yeah, really.
So, anyway, it was just a story that really shocked yeah. me mm-hmm. and was like, I was like, wow. So when I dug into it a little bit, I was yeah. like, really like, oh, that's kind of interesting. What do you got, Rock?
I've got a list of Taylor Swift lyrics and also William Shakespeare quotes. And I was going to see if you two could figure out which one are Taylor Swift and which one are Shakespeare.
On the surface, this seems wicked easy.
Like, also, didn't we do a video on that with Way Nation one time?
Taylor Swift
versus
yeah.
Shakespeare. Or no, it's like Taylor Swift versus the Bible.
Yeah, I think so.
We did something
yeah.
like
we
that.
We did something with that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm intrigued by this.
Okay, so here's the first one. Long were the nights when my days once revolved around you.
That does sound like Shakespeare, but I'm gonna go Taylor Swift.
I'll go Shakespeare.
It's Taylor Swift.
Yes,
oh, Dear John.
Wow, yes, girl. Because that's when she was in her really moody, broody phase.
Early on.
All the world's a stage.
Oh, I know this one.
Hmm.
And the reason I know this one is because of a Rush song. It's William Shakespeare.
It is, yeah.
All the world's a stage, and we are merely players, performers, and portrayers, each another's audience outside like the gilded cage.
Wow.
I don't know that, but I know it from Rush.
Cowards die many times before their deaths.
Oh, my goodness.
That could be a That I Hate You song.
I know. Cowards, say it again.
Cowards die many times before their deaths.
I'm going to go Shakespeare, but there's part of me that's like that. What was that song where she was really mad at everybody? What was the song?
Shake It Off?
Maybe. Oh, I can't remember.
We're never getting back together.
Yeah.
I think it is Shakespeare. It's going to be Taylor Swift, but I'll guess yeah. Shakespeare.
It's actually Shakespeare.
Oh, okay. Nice. Okay. Yeah, I can see it.
Whether be the frost or the violence of the dog days.
Oh, that's got to be Shakespeare. Like, that's got to be Shakespeare.
That could have been on one of her newer albums because she got real folksy and artsy. So I'll go with Taylor.
I will be so unbelievably surprised if that's Taylor Swift.
It's Taylor Swift.
No!
Wow, she is it really? Poetic.
Give me that again.
Weather, but with an H.
Yeah.
Weather without an H.
Weather.
With an A. Spelled differently. Whether be the frost or the violence of the dog days.
What? Man.
In a song called Evermore.
I don't even know what she's saying.
It's really new. I didn't like the new stuff.
Dang it.
My castle crumbled overnight.
Oh, that's Taylor Swift because she always uses castle imagery.
Yeah, I think
standing
so.
In the rain. If there's anything about rain and pebbles, you know, throwing them at a window, that was her whole first two albums.
Okay, you're right.
Yeah.
I'll be summer sun for you forever.
Shakespeare.
That's Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nice.
This is the very ecstasy of love. Mm.
I'm going to go Shakespeare on that, but I could see it being a dramatic Taylor Swift.
This
but I'm,
is the... I think it is Shakespeare, though, because ecstasy is a weird word.
We should just take all these Shakespeare ones that were like close to Taylor Swift and put them to Taylor Swift songs.
Yes, it was in Hamlet.
Okay.
That feels, yeah.
Speak low if you speak love.
Oh, I know that one. That's Shakespeare.
That is Shakespeare. It's probably in...
Romeo and Juliet.
No, Much Ado About Nothing.
Oh, okay. Close enough.
But we're right.
My crown... Mine own ambition and my queen.
Mine has got to be Shakespeare. There's no way that Taylor Swift would use that verbiage.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like why she would be saying mine
queen. Own. Yeah.
Okay. Shakespeare.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And last, just twin fire signs, four blue eyes.
Oh, that's Taylor Swift.
Mm.
Just
Shakespeare.
Just twin fire signs, four blue eyes.
Probably off the new album.
Is from a song called State of Grace by Taylor Swift.
Yeah, Blue Eyes. Shakespeare's not ever going to talk about Blue
Eyes.
Right.
He would be smarter. What? He would be more poetic with the color and all that.
There's a couple that fooled me, though, on that.
That's interesting.
The weather dog days.
Yeah. That's the big one. You're
that was
like,
her,
you've got to
right?
be kidding me.
Yeah, that was Taylor.
Crazy town. All right, what do you got for our...
Birthdays.
Birthdays, yeah. Well, I was saying that because somebody had sent me a birthday, and I was trying to remember the date at which they were like, it's for this date, and I was like, I panicked for a minute thinking that I had missed it, but I think I'm still good.
All right, we've only got one. It's from Marissa. Today, she's celebrating her birthday. It's her 16th birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Sweet Marissa.
16.
She said, I love the Wally Show podcast. I'm a Bible quizzer, which is where I learned certain verses and then compete in tournaments with my team.
Did you do this?
Yeah, I was part of Awana when you would,
I remember Awana.
You would do Awana Games, which is the athletic portion of the organization, and then the Bible quiz where you answer biblical or scriptural questions.
That's one side of Awana. The other side of Awana is date night. When we would drop Haley off, I would slow down long enough for her to tuck and roll and get out of the car.
Just bowl her up to
her little vest on her for cubbies and go, get in there, kid. Learn about the Lord.
My parents.
We went to dinner.
That's smart because my parents led everything.
You know.
They did the cubbies. They did the Sparkies. They may have stuck in cubbies, but they did it all.
No. We were out. That was date night for us.
Smart.
We've got a question from Doug and Stacy.
Doug.
What are your favorite restaurants to eat at, from the cheap drive-thru to the nice sit-down?
Oh, okay.
So let's start with drive-thru, your favorite drive-thru.
My biggest thing on this will be hearing what Betty Rock's version of nice sit-down is, besides Catfish Camp. Like,
hey, that is my nice.
I'm telling you.
I would choose it over anything and everything.
In the world you are single is just beyond me. You are the greatest catch ever.
Hey, and it's about catching catfish.
Yeah, yeah. Hey. You know how to cook. You're not hard on the eyes.
Thank you.
You are like so simple. You love the simple things in life. You're easy to please. Like, you could bring home a stick, but if that stick had some sort of pertinence, relevance, or funny, you're all about
it's
the
it. Best stick ever.
Exactly. Like, yeah, and your idea of fine dining is catfish camp. Oh my gosh.
It's wonderful. If I had to go with drive through, it would really be a toss up between two. And it would be either Chick-fil-A.
That's almost fine dining now. It's gotten so expensive, man.
Or Crystal's. And if you've never been to Crystal's.
Is that for fine dining?
No. Oh, okay. That's drive-through.
I had to make sure.
The problem that keeps me from going to Crystal's is that it's in a gas station. And I know it is just not good for me. Like,
sure.
I question everything that's in it. But it
so
tastes
good.
So good. And yes, the employees look like they maybe they're out on bail.
They're work release.
And yes,
they're
maybe the drive-thru lady called me booger as a term of endearment.
Yep.
But it is a great place.
I know.
I've only had it the one time still, and I still don't have a high opinion at all of it. But I didn't grow up on it. I didn't grow up on it. It might be different.
Good.
I don't know. It makes me want it right now, though. I'm so hungry. I want it right now. Like fast food. I'm still McDonald's. Although they're losing me, man.
What?
Like, yeah.
How?
Not their Coke. Their Coke is still the best ever. I've had more bad McDonald's French fries in the last little while. No one knows how to make them again. They pull them out too early, and they're too potato-y.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. What makes a bad McDonald's fry?
And here's the other thing, too. Like, I was like, okay, so I wanted the $3. They have a $3 bundle. It's a small fry and a double quarter pounder or something like that. I'm like, okay, great. I'm like, yeah, I'll take that and a large Coke. And so she misunderstood my order, which is fine. That happens.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, okay, it's $9.83. I'm like, wait, what? I said, oh, I just want the number three. That's $3 in the Coke, so it's $4. But their regular meal of a double quarter pounder with a small fry and a Coke was going to be almost $10. Like, you've
That's
lost
crazy.
Your way.
Yeah.
But then, not to rant, but then you go, you know, when we drive up the minimum wage, that cost always gets passed on to the consumer. Now, you also have other supply chain issues, but they're just everything ultimately gets passed to the consumer. And that's why we're seeing crazy inflation at like 7%. You think that's going away anytime soon? Ooh, it's gonna be real interesting to see what happens in the next 3 years. Thank you, Joe.
All right, sit down.
Sit down restaurant. One that you don't do often, but you splurge. There's a place called Cork and Cow here.
Oh, yeah.
And it's one of those things where you pay $40-something for a steak.
Ooh.
And then you pay $9 for French fries. Like, you pay everything is additive, and it is... It's expensive. So that's the one you do like once a year, like when you're going to go for anniversary or something like that. Or your wife's out of town, so it only costs you half as much.
Oh. Eating there by yourself?
Yes. Awkward.
Yes. It's cheaper.
It's just me tonight, guys.
I know. But that's my favorite. Gavin.
Drive-thru Chick-fil-A. No. Popeyes. That's still up there. We kind of took a break for a couple months just because we weren't eating out as much. And we had it a couple weeks ago. Still good. Sit down. I'll do anything that's hibachi. Them cooking in front of you. Asian food's my favorite thing in the world. Like, it satisfies everything from taste to a show.
I so badly want a hibachi grill in my house.
Well, Steve actually has, our music director, Steve, has like a flat top grill that he just got at home. It's not the same thing, but I feel like it would be fun to have that much surface area.
They make them that are electric or gas, they're flat, and they have the side, because I want them for sandwiches, for cheesesteak sandwiches. Like you get at Philly Connection and stuff, or Steakout.
Geez.
Like, you cut you use the two spatulas, and you cut up the meat real quick, and then you put the cheese on it, but then you slide the spatula over, and it hits the side, because there's a side, and then it's perfectly on your spatula, perfectly into your sandwich.
And then you can toast the bread on, like, one surf part of it. Like, you can crush
I really
everything.
Want one. I can't talk my wife into cutting into our granite to sink it into our island.
Oh, boo.
And she's probably right about that. but yeah, I would like that because I don't want to buy the one you've got to store somewhere because they are bigger. Mm. So I haven't done it. I've thought some people put them on their grill, or if you have a gas stove, a lot of times a gas stove, you put one across the two gas burners and it heats the whole thing. And so that's kind of nice. But I don't have gas. I have electric. I know. First world problem.
So sad.
I know. It's okay. All right. Well, with that.
All right, guys.
I think we're done. That's going to do it.
See ya.
And as always, thanks for being a potty.